pick a path and stick to it. Keep doing it and refining it and don't stop. It might not work until the 500. Just keep taking action every single day, consistent action, whether it be driving for dollars, continue driving for dollars every day.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Brent Bowers. I'm really excited to bring him on the show today. We're going to talk a little bit about land investing and what he does with that. And I'm not going to go too much into his background right now because I want to have him share that with us. But Brent, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, nice to meet you. Good to get acquainted to you, or with you, I should say, before you hit record. And I'm excited for your future with what you got going on, too.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that. I always enjoy that pre-record conversation that I have with every guest I bring on, man. It's just really fun and really genuine. And it gives me the confidence that I'm really bringing good people onto the show, good experts to share their stories. So speaking of sharing stories, man, we want to know about yours. So if you could tell us a little bit about you, how'd you get started in land investing?
Yeah, it's a long story. I bought my first house in 2007, right after I got my real estate license, turned that into a rental, and then really took a little break from about 2009 to 2013 from real estate because I was getting my butt kicked with the turn of the market. And things went south there in business for a little while. And I ended up joining the military because I really needed to make income. And my wife's grandfather was just such an intelligent man. He actually had introduced me to Jim Rohn, not personally, but via cassette tapes. And I was like downloading this into my mind. And another thing he told me is, look, you're struggling in real estate right now. It's 2008. It sucks. The market sucks. And people are getting out of it left and right. Have you thought about going into the military and going back to school and trying to start something new? And here I am, I'm getting humbled every day. I went from being a real estate agent and I had my own business before that. I had a rental property and things got so tight. Me and my wife ended up having to move in with my in-laws. I had to contact my landlord and say, hey, I'm not going to be able to afford next month. Can we break lease? Yeah, you can. No problem. And then he put a judgment on me for the remaining amount, which I actually found out about when I was in Afghanistan. I had to figure out my credit was going downhill, but that's another story, another podcast. And so I went to the Air Force and they said, no, we don't want to take you right now. But luckily I'm coachable. And that Air Force recruiter was also kind enough to say, hey, go next door to the Army. They'll take anybody. But just don't join the Navy. You'll always be gone. You're married. Like we want you to see your wife.
Ooh, shots fired.
No. So I listened, and whether it was the right advice or the wrong advice, it didn't matter. You give me an action, you give me a plan, I take action. So I'm in the Army, October 2009, basic training, AIT, more training after that, deployed by November 2010. And just growing with that, finally I get to go back to school in 2013. Where the Army pulls me out of Afghanistan, where I'm on my second deployment, and sends me to college. So I literally bought the house next door to the college and started house hacking, which I learned from our good friends over at Bigger Pockets. I didn't listen to Bigger Pockets back then, but I learned it was called house hacking is all I'm getting at. But that was my start back in the real estate. And I promise I'm going to answer the question about land, but I kept buying rentals. And I went back, I went from college back into my Army career where I'm working like 12, 13 hour days. And was still trying to buy houses at that time because my plan was to eventually get out. And it was just really hard to buy houses when you're working like 12, 13 hour days on base. You got to go and establish rapport with these sellers. And then I was like looking for answers, listening to podcast, kind of like the Average Joe Finances podcast, just searching for answers on how I could build a better business, and heard about land. And I started mailing it that pretty much that day, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's what a background to just get yourself to the point to where you started investing in land. And it's really awesome to see that when you went to school, you were house hacking, because a lot of people, they don't realize that they'll go and they'll stay in a dorm or they'll pay rent at a place close to a college campus. But for the folks that want to go and pay that rent close to that college campus, you were able to take advantage of that, right? As an opportunity for you. You saw an opportunity there. Hey, I'll get my own place and I'll rent out the other rooms or whatever. And that it works out pretty good, because now you're living for free while going to college, and the Army was paying for your college, right?
Yeah.
Going to college for free, you're getting paid, and you're living for free because somebody else is paying your mortgage.
I was a baller. I really did. I thought I was a
baller. You were a baller. That's awesome. Now, I do want to clarify something, though, since we were talking about when the Air Force recruiter told you to go talk to the Army instead of the Navy. So I did a recruiting tour when I was enlisted, and that was one of the things we used to always talk about all the time with each other. So it was funny that you said that. Oh, if you go to the Navy, you're going to be out there in the middle of the ocean with nothing around you. What the Army recruiters like to do is throw a pen in the middle of the room and throw that on the floor and say, that's you in the middle of the ocean with nothing else around you. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fair. And then I'll throw a pen on the floor and say that. Yeah, what's that? I was like, that's you in the middle of Afghanistan or Iraq with living in a tent, not being able to shower, where me right there in the middle of the ocean, I get to shower every day and 3 hot meals a day. So, and there's a gym.
We should have been there.
Hey, I was a good recruiter, man. I was a good recruiter. But anyway, enough about that. I just thought that was funny and I wanted to share that. So awesome,
I was that
man.
Guy in the tent, not showering in Afghanistan with no one around me.
Yeah. It's all right, man. I did some boots on ground too in Baghdad. It was a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah, man.
Story. What I really like about it is you had this drive from the beginning, right? You started looking, you were in real estate back when it was really like at its lowest of the low back in 2008 when everything started crashing. And I guess that's the point where that's when you said your uncle approached you, right, and said, why don't you consider the military or something like that? Because the market at the time, it was just unbelievable. It was especially, you said you had your real estate license, right?
Yeah, so, I did.
Yeah, really difficult time to be a real estate agent for sure. And you took that and you created another opportunity by joining the military and doing what you did to go to college and then start this next adventure in real estate investing. Now, when you started house hacking and then you said you found land, was there anything in between that as you were looking? Because I know we talked about this a little bit offline. So what was like the, let's get a little bit more into the specifics of what the steps were from when you were house hacking in college, graduated college, commissioned, and then what happened? Where'd you get stationed next? And what, how did that roll down?
Yeah, there was a lot in between that. I was trying to really keep it short. No. So my second deployment, me and my wife ended up splitting up because I was always gone, always away, always training, always deployed. And it's just, that's really hard on a marriage. So they pulled me out after the second deployment. And I actually learned how to house hack because of a problem I was having, because I had a very short timeline to find a place to live while I was going to school. So I ended up going on Craigslist and finding a room for rent in this beautiful house. I get there and I stay the first night and I'm like, this place smells like cat pee. And I found the litter box like right outside of my room. And the guy was never home. So it was like the perfect opportunity, but I always felt strange living there. And I was taking care of his cat because he never changed the litter box. He never fed it. And I'm like, you know what? I can buy my own dang house. So I literally went and found a realtor that next morning, found the house, called a VA lender and closed on this thing in like 29 days later and fixed the house up. And all the things I hated about the house I was just renting from, I improved on my own house, like new carpets, no cats, like all these things. So that's really how I learned house hack, was from really a problem. And then fast forward a little bit. So the college was a private school and my GI Bill would only pay for so much. So I had another problem. I'm now like needing to pay for classes. And I had also purchased a second rental property right after that first one. I was house hacking because I did something called a VA Streamline loan, and it allowed me to pull out $55,000 within 3 months of living in that house. So I took that $55,000 cash. In 2013, you could get some smoking hot deals. I took it and offered $55,000 on a $100,000 house. I purchased a house. And then I used some sweat labor, sweat equity, and fix it up myself with my neighbor. He had a contract.
You said you offered $55,000 on a $100,000 house?
Yep.
So you paid $55,000 cash. So, wow.
But they wrote me a check, the VA Streamline, and they lowered my interest rate. So we got the house, and me and my neighbor fixed it up. and rented it out within a couple months for $1,200 a month. So now I'm about to have to pay off this credit card bill that I racked up at Home Depot and all the stuff for the second rental property, not the house hack one, but the second rental property. And this one had a pool, so it was really cool fixing it up. I would like swim and stuff. And I met my current wife now while I was fixing it up. So I had her out there painting the eaves and all that. She likes to say she painted the whole house, but she did about an hour of painting. And we would go and swim after the work was done. But now I've got to pay this Amex off. I got to pay this Home Depot card off. And I had to pay for 8 college classes from a private school. So now I have some debts. And I'm like, oh no, I've been in debt before and I want to pay this off. I went on something called PropStream and found the notice of default list. Liz Pendens basically is what we call it in Florida, AKA they're not paying their mortgage, they're behind. So I got all the addresses and I went and door knocked on every single one of them. And the people that didn't answer, I put a stick-it note, a post-it note. I had a lot of time in college, by the way. I literally just went from a deployment where I'm working like 14-hour days, 15-hour days to taking college classes, like maybe 5-hour days. So I had a lot of time to fill. So I got off that deployment cycle, which a lot of veterans and military people understand that you're just go, no rest. So I door knocked all these people and I got this house under contract. And then I put it on Craigslist for a little bit more and I assigned the contract. And then did another and then another. And that's why I was like hooked on houses and wholesaling contracts. And then about that time, fast forward another year, it's time to move. So we went out to Colorado Springs and I started it up again.
Nice. Okay. Right on. So you went from while you were in school, you took that extra time that you had and you're out there just knocking on doors. And you said you used PropStream to find like the people that were behind on payments.
That's right.
What a way to do it. And at the time, were you listening to any podcasts or did you read any books, anything that gave you like the idea to start doing that?
I was taking courses like crazy. Nice. So one thing I left out is Hardy Brothers would come to town. All these pathway events, like I would go to these courses. I was in education mode, listening to podcasts, reading the books. And I stayed in education mode for a while. And I just wish I would have taken action sooner. And let me tell you how smart I am. I wholesaled those 2 houses I just talked about back to back and then didn't do anything else for a year. Like I paid for the classes, paid off my debt. And that was a system. And I stopped it, completely stopped it until it was time to move to Colorado Springs. And this is when I learned my why. I got Emily, my wife, to come out there with me. We got married, got pregnant really quickly. And when that baby came out, the first baby came out in 2016, I now had a why to get out of the military because I was once again on that path of training every, like basically we're in the field for every 3 months for a month. And then we're gearing up to leave for Afghanistan again. And I'm like, oh man, I did not want history repeating itself. Plus I now have a baby.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in and a tough choice that you have to make. In doing so, you found your why. You found why you're doing this. What's going to be the thing that motivates you to keep moving forward? And I got to tell you, you know, having kids myself, that is one of the things that pushes me as hard as I go. And it's, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to give them the best life possible. So that's awesome. So now you moved to Colorado Springs and you got the wholesaling thing under your belt at this time. You've done house hacking. You've had rental properties. How did you discover land? And what was it that made you feel like land was so much more lucrative?
Yeah, it came from a problem. Once again, I was forced to hire somebody to help me answer the phones. And she started going out and actually going on seller appointments, but I was still searching for answers because now it's okay. I'm gearing up because I got to get to a certain passive income to be able to get out of the military. And I actually hired Jen. She's still with me today. She came out with me April 2017. And I was listening to podcasts and I heard this guy talking about buying this vacant raw land at like pennies on the dollar and flipping it like the next day and doubling his money and tripling his money. And some of this stuff was like, he's only spending like a couple $1,000s. And I'm in Colorado Springs where the average house is 300,000 right now. So I'm like, wow, I've got some cash. I could buy this stuff myself and turn around and flip it too. And I was already mailing at that time the tax delinquent list. It was basically properties that no one was people were not paying their taxes on. And I was just avoiding the vacant land because I knew nothing about it. But just from hearing this man on this podcast planted a seed, that night I went home and found the list and sent it to my virtual assistant in India. She charges me $4 an hour to scrub that list. And she got all the vacant raw land on there. And we sent a postcard. We sent out like 687 postcards to all these people that were behind on their taxes. And we thought, see, here's a mistake I made. I thought I was mailing the tax delinquent list, but I was mailing the county held tax lien list. This was stuff that was so inefficient, not buildable, not accessible, not even tax lien investors would buy the property. So the county had to hold it. And I mailed these people. It's like literally like giving starving fish a worm. And my phone exploded. And I was like, I hit the jackpot. And like first call, retired CPA. Yep, just give me $285. It might not have been the first call, but the first round of calls. Hey, just give me $285. It's yours. So I went and looked at the land, had no clue what I was doing. Ended up selling it to a realtor for $5,000. Did it again. This time I sold it for $500 down, $400 a month. And that's the one that changed my paradigm. It gave me a paradigm shift, as Stephen Covey would say. That's where I was like, wait a minute. I am now paying my truck payment. I'm going to do another one next week, and that's going to pay my wife's car payment. And another one next week, and that's going to pay the electric bill. And then we just kept doing it. Before I knew it, I'm at like $6,500 a month. And that's our bills.
So you're doing like seller financing on the land.
You got it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, fantastic. So you found a way to create a passive income stream from land similar to as if it was a home or a single family rental. But the thing is, you don't have to worry about any toilets or tenants or anything like that. So that's a pretty good spot to be in, man. That's well done. And again, this is something that you found from a problem, right? You had a problem and you had to get it fixed. So you started looking at different ways to solve the problem. And here you are, you found land and it looks like it's working out pretty good. So now, obviously, as you're doing this, you're going to grow, you're going to get bigger. I can only imagine after you sent out all those postcards, you said your phone was blowing up. It can't be just you and a VA doing this. So have you done anything to scale it up and build a team? Like, how's that working for you?
My middle name is Scale. It's Brent Scale Bowers. So if I want anything to be successful, I find someone to do it, to help me do it, because I get bored so quickly that if it wasn't for my team, I wouldn't have this business. We have a little over 100 notes now paying us. There's 9 of us put together, including myself. We actually have a team meeting going on right now. They run without me. I'm just there to cheer them on, ring the victory bell, and come up with new ideas that they sometimes go, whoa, can we just finish the last 3 first type thing. I've got a great team. I've got an in-house accountant now. We just hired her. We're getting her on board because we outran our bookkeeping service, and we flipped vacant raw land, and we now are working at a 32 townhome development project that we're building on our own land. So it started with that first $285 parcel of land, and it turned into, we're doing another project, and I can't mention the state, but $4.5 million purchase. And it's by just finding other people being on these podcasts and people wanting to do things together. And it's just been an amazing
thing. Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about just the real estate community in general, at least the real estate investing community, is just the networking opportunities and the opportunities you get just from meeting other people and sharing your story, sharing what you're doing. It's amazing who wants to just tag along and join in and add value. Everybody's always looking to add value to each other. It's not, you know, you have people walking around asking for handouts. It's, hey, I want to do something that's going to help you take it to the next level. And that's when you start looking at partnerships and things like that. It's absolutely awesome. This community has been amazing. I think I've mentioned this a couple times on my show too. I would say probably 97% of the people that I've met in the real estate investing community are just genuinely awesome and really good people. Maybe there's 3% out there that are sleazebags, but it's just a good community to be a part of. And I'm very happy to be a part of it. Now, so you're scaling up and you're growing. You have this 9-person team now, even hired your own accountant. So that's fantastic. Now, as you're going into this, it all started from, you said it was what, $285 was that first piece of land? that bit the bug. And now you're at the point where you're doing land development, right? You're building the 32 townhomes. That resume is just building up. Absolutely fantastic. So I'm hyping you up here because I'm excited, because just everything that you're doing is just really awesome, man.
I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, I want to talk
talking about it.
It's awesome, man. It's talking about this stuff is just always very exciting. I love doing it. That's why I have this podcast. I genuinely enjoy doing this. Now, when it comes to scaling and building that team, what did you do? Because I want to kind of dive into this a little bit, because there's people that listen to this show that are at the point where maybe they're ready to take it to that next step and they're ready to start building a team to expand on what they're already doing. So what did you do, like, when you were out there looking for other people to come on board with the team? Was there specific qualities or traits that you were looking for? Was it people that you met at meetups? Like, how did you meet some of your partners?
Yeah, you just hit one of them on the dot. I started a meetup with my real estate broker in Colorado Springs. It's still going on today, even though I no longer live in Colorado Springs. And he's the one that actually said, "Hey, Brent, let's start a meetup." And this is like 2017. And I felt like I had only been doing real estate a very short amount of time. Who was going to listen to me? What did I have to offer? But luckily, Colin, he's like, "Let's just do it together." And we started that. So one of my fourth hire was Chrissy. She came to our meetup. And Colin's, "Hey, aren't you looking for an office manager?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." So I just spun out the things I was looking for. And she came up to me at the end of the meeting and says, "Hey, I'd be interested in that." And I was like, I blew her off because I was intimidated by her. I was like, "Oh no, you already work for the University of Arizona. You don't want to come out here." I was like, "I can't pay you." I just had all these limiting beliefs. And she followed up with me. We set an appointment and I talked to her about the job. I was like, the job I had. And I felt like the whole time I was trying to talk her out of not working for me. I don't even know why I said working for me, working with us, our team. And like, she reminded me, she's been with me 3 years now, and she reminded me about that the other day. And it's so crazy how you just meet people. The first hire was Jen, and she's still with me today. She pretty much runs the company. She's in charge and she does a great job doing it. She just paid off all of her debt. She's now debt free, but she was my acquisition manager. And I literally found her on the Nextdoor app.
Wow. The Nextdoor app, like the little forum, the community forum. Oh, that's cool.
I put an ad out looking for acquisition manager. Must love people. Sales not required. However, you're 100% commission only, and you got to be willing to make some phone calls. And I just needed someone to help me answer the phone because I had just launched about 5,000 mailers out, like postcards. Yep. So I like spent a fortune. I think I put it on the Amex once again. Still have the same Amex, by the way. And the Italian commander, our 05, decides that we're going to go to the field and no one's bringing their cell phones because we're going to do battlefield operation simulation. Like, we don't have cell phones in Afghanistan. So I leave my phone. I can't return these sellers' calls. And I just spent like $3,000 in postcards. Wife was a little upset about it, but I had to hire someone to help me do this. If I was going to run this like a business, and you show me any business person that's a one-man show, I'll show you someone that's going to go out of business very soon.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just did the same thing for me as a realtor out here in Hawaii. I just sent, they're not out yet, but I've got a whole bunch of mailers going out. Also, put on an Amex card as well. So,
man, card.
I do. I sure do. Yeah. I sure do.
Those air miles and the Delta Sky Club, man. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Oh, wow, man. This is so cool. So, again, faced with a problem, right? You were forced to do this because you had to go out in the field. You couldn't bring your phone with you. You're like, "Oh my goodness, what am I going to do?" That's the same thing I ran into when I hired my first virtual assistant when it came to helping me with the podcast because of how much time it takes. I don't have time to sit here and post on social media all the time about it. So I actually have somebody that does that for me. Most of the time you see my stuff on social media, it's usually not me, unless it's on my personal account. But yeah, stuff like this is just when you start building your teams and scaling, you have to, or you're going to wind up stagnating, or you're not going to go any forward anymore. So pretty much stagnating, or you're going to fail at that point. And it's one of the things I've talked about a lot on my show as well, is just the importance of networking and meeting other people in the business that have the same mindset as you, the same goals and aspirations for what they're trying to do for themselves and their families. This just really solidifies that. So for the people that are listening right now, listen to what Brent's talking about, because this is what really works. This stuff really works. Brent, that's absolutely amazing. So now you've built up this business, right? You've got a whole team. You're doing everything. Now, when you started hiring people, so you started hiring from the meetups, how did you get to the point where you went from your first hire to where you're at now with a 9-person team? Because I know that first person is always going to be like that sigh of relief. You've got some help now and you're starting this up.
I was scared to death because I was like, wait a minute, now I have to have enough marketing to pay this.
Yeah.
So she can put food on her plate table.
But once you got yourself to the point where you were comfortable and you had this next person hired, how did you get to the point where you hired 8 more people? What did you do as you kept going that way?
Tony Robbins talks about this. It's like the threshold of comfort. And you get used to skiing like the black diamonds, and then you come back down to the blues. It's, oh, this is really slow. And you're comfortable now with like faster, steeper inclines. It's like driving your car on the Autobahn in Germany. You go from 120 miles an hour to the state road, state highway, and whatever, Florida, and everyone's driving 55. And it starts raining and they turn their flashers and their hazards on. It's literally like going from 120 miles an hour to 55. That's like the threshold of comfort level. So if you've been going fast and you go slower, it's okay, this is pretty comfortable. So each hire gets more comfortable, and I'm going to make it even more comfortable by knowing that this is a teammate and they are an investment. If they don't bring a 2x return, a 3x return, whatever it is, you'll figure out that if you run a KPI on each one of your team members, you'll see what their return on investment is. So if you pay someone $800 a month to do some part-time work or whatever, and they end up bringing in $8,000 into the company, that's a 10x return on that employee or that team member. So if you put it in your mind that way, you have no fear of hiring. And you could, like I'm saying, fire quickly, hire slowly. And when you feel like you need to fire someone, trust your judgment, because they're probably just not a good fit for your culture, or they might just be in the wrong position too. Chrissy that came in never, ever thought about firing her. However, I remember on her first interview, she said, I never want to do sales. Guess who buys our houses and our land now and is no longer our office manager is Chrissy. She moved to a different seat on the bus, basically. It's the same thing with mail. I bet you every letter you send or postcard you send, you make a certain amount of dollars. So if you got to send 37 cents to mail that postcard, you probably know that postcard is going to make you $3.70 back, or that's a 10X key performance indicator. So that's how I got comfortable hiring. If they don't work, see you later, alligator type thing.
Nice. Okay. I want to kind of circle back to the land investing. And what are some of the benefits to investing in land versus investing in home?
So I will say that the benefit of investing in land is there's no stinky old dirty cat pee houses that you got to clean up, fix up. The general contractor or the contractor is painting someone else's cabinets in your living room and turns away the carpet man. We still flip houses. We have a house flipping operation. I love it and I hate it all at the same time, because I always have to compare to land, because land, the buyers never call. There's no complaints. There's no roofs to repair, foundations to fix, or cat pee to clean up. We just got shut down on one of our job sites because of a rogue painter that was painting someone else's cabinets in our living room and turned away the carpet man. And he got so mad, he stormed off the job site when we asked him, like, whose cabinets are you painting? You better not be painting our cabinets. He got so mad, he went and talked to the building inspector and said we had mold in the house and got shut down. That's just one example of what we got going on in these house flipping world. We have a 19-unit apartment complex that we're working on. And luckily, I have partners for these things, because you know there's no way you can do all this by yourself. But they're like stealing our copper, like our wiring, and like we have cameras up and sirens, and they still come in and steal this stuff. Land, there's nothing to take. What are you going to come take my trees, dig out the dirt? There's more dirt underneath there.
Yeah, it's a fair point. That's a real fair point. I didn't write this down, but you keep bringing it up. I really feel like your first experience renting when you went to college really put something in the back of your head about cat pee.
Yeah, I'll tell you. That's the first experience. You're right. I had another house that I went on vacation. We listed the house and I went on vacation. And this is a beautiful house. And it sat on the MLS for a month. We must have had 40 people walk through. And I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't sit. And one agent, thank God, she was nice enough to say, there's a weird smell in the basement. So I literally got back from vacation, drove straight to this house and stuck my nose to the brand new carpet. And that smell burnt into, like, literally it's still in there. And it was cat pee. over underneath brand new carpet. We ended up having to rip all the carpet out, soak the 2x4s in the floor with 50% vinegar, 50% water, and then did all this, that baking soda. And I'm pretty sure the smell was still there. I ended up ordering brand new carpet again, and finally the house sold. It's just burnt into my head. I'm telling you, meth is probably easier to treat than cat pee.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty rough stuff. I've actually dealt with a listing similar too, and they went and had to replace all the carpets, but they had same thing, had to treat all the wood as well just to get the scent out. So I'm assuming you don't have any cats.
No, I don't. Okay. No, I don't.
Just double checking this. It goes to show that the difference in the headaches that you would deal with land versus an actual single family home or duplex, small multifamily, things like that. So that's definitely good to know. So for folks that are listening right now that want to get into something, but they're like not sure about what if they're going to have to deal with tenants that aren't going to pay or broken plumbing or anything like that, maybe land investing something that they could look into. I want to get into something that I call here called the final round. And I'm going to ask you, four questions that I like to ask everybody that comes on the show. It's something we started pretty recently, but I think they're pretty four impactful questions that really help people understand more about you and how you got to where you are and everything that you're doing, because the stuff you already shared is awesome, Brent. Your story is amazing. And what you were able to build, especially since 2016, when you got out of the Army, right?
I got out in 2018.
You got out in 2018. So you were still doing this while you were in the Army, but just being able to do that. And then now you're 4 years out and crushing it, man. It's awesome. So if you're ready to go, we'll get this.
I'm ready.
Okay, cool.
We'll get back to the show after a brief break. What if I told you that you could be debt-free in 5 to 7 years? Hey, it's Mike Cavagioni with the Average Joe Finances Podcast, and I partnered with the Shred Method to help you pay off your mortgage fast. I personally use this method and was able to invest in 2 large multifamily apartment deals, pay off almost $30,000 in home renovation debt, and pay down a large chunk of my mortgage all within 3 months. I am confident in the Shred Method because it works. Did you know that you can eliminate your mortgage with the power of a simple tool called a HELOC? You can learn more about all of this at theshredmethod.com/averagejoefinances. And if you use that link, you're going to save $200 off of your initial cost. Again, this is something that I know works because I use it myself. And that's www.theshredmethod.com/averagejoefinances, or just click that link below. Real estate investors know they're leaving money on the table every time they pass a rundown property and do nothing about it. Deal Machine lets you and your team pin distressed properties, look up the property owner on the spot, and send a personalized postcard to the owner directly from the app, all within a few seconds. You can set up mail on repeat to make sure you won't forget to follow up. And while the app is sending a custom postcard, you can look up the owner's phone number and email instantly. Plus, if you want to find even more off-market deals, you can build a team of people to drive for you. You just get to track how many properties your deal finders add every day, making your deal finding a scalable and profitable process. Go to dealmachine.com and use the code AVERAGEJOE, that's AVGJOE, for 15 marketing credits during your free trial. That's Average Joe, AVGJOE. Let's get back to today's episode.
So, first question of the final round is, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
I should have kept buying real estate. Yeah, you're in Germany and all that for 3 years out of the country. Should have kept buying. I should have bought 2 houses every duty station I ever went to. Free money,
wow,
VA money. I almost called it virtual assistant. VA money, the VA.gov type stuff. Buy 2. Here's the reason why. Live in one, or just buy a fourplex if your wife will let you. Live in one, buy the other one for investment. Because the one you're living in is not an investment unless you are house hacking it. The other one's investment. If you like, how many places have you lived in 20 years, Mike?
Just going off the top of my head, at least 9.
Let's just say you only bought
just a house. From all the PCSing and stuff.
Yeah. Let's just say you only bought a house, 1 per duty station. You have 9 houses right now, and some of them would almost be paid off.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's funny that you say that too. I tell most of the junior sailors that I've worked with too, hey, every duty station you go to, buy a property. Don't rent, don't give away your basic allowance for housing that you're given. Use that to buy something that will pay you in the future. So I just want to touch on that a little bit too for the military folks that are listening. It's tax-free money that you're getting housing. Yeah, you get to take some tax-free money and buy a property. So yeah, it's a no-brainer. But anyway, cool. That's fantastic, man. I really appreciate that answer. So I want to move on to the next question. And this kind of ties into that. And is, what is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first got started?
I'll just tie it back into buying that house. When I, that first one I house hacked, I really wish I would have bought something on Melbourne Beach on the water, because I could have afforded to pay for it with other people's money. And I would have a beach house right now in 2013 at 2013 prices, not 2022 prices. And I could probably sell it in literally probably $1.5 million easily right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, just to think about it too, buying it on yesterday's dollars. That's the other thing about it too. When you look at where the real estate market is today versus where it was at 13 years ago and such, it's just, you can't beat that, or even 10 years ago. It's just absolutely amazing. Okay. Fantastic. I want to move on to the next question, because, and you can see a theme here, right? These kind of all tie into each other. And I do it this way to show people that there are mistakes you can make. There's stuff you can come back from. But at the same time, at the end of the day, if you really understand what your why is and what you're doing, and you've got the basics down, you could just go out there and absolutely crush it. So with that being said, I know you said you had education mode on back in the day, right? So speaking of the education mode, that goes into like my final question here. And that is, do you have a favorite real estate investing podcast that you like to listen to?
The Wholesaling Inc. podcast. I've got the pleasure of being the host of that, or one of the five hosts, but I've probably listened to more Wholesaling Inc. podcasts than any other podcast ever.
All right. Fantastic. And I just realized something. I skipped a question too. So that wasn't the last question. I do have one more. I did that out of order, but that's okay. So cool. But yeah, so that's a fantastic podcast to go listen to. But yes, I do have one more question for you. Sorry about this, man. And that is, okay, for somebody that is just getting started out, do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to them?
Yeah. Pick a path and stick to it. Keep doing it and refining it and don't stop. It might not work until the 500. Just keep taking action every single day, consistent action, whether it be driving for dollars, continue driving for dollars every day. I just hung up with one of my land students that I'm teaching him how to buy and sell land and create a business around it. I said, mail only 10 parcels of land a day. Pick one zip code, one parcel size. Pick that parcel size that's selling the most in the last 12 months in that zip code and only worry about 10 per day. And then next week, go to 15 per day. And the following week, do 20 per day until it gets uncomfortable. But start somewhere. It's like eating the elephant, one tiny little bite at a time. Start at the tail and move up.
That's a really good way to look at it too. Start off small and just get yourself to the point where you're starting to feel uncomfortable, because I think that's where people really find themselves, when they have to break out of their comfort zone, and that's going to, you know, push them to that next level. So really appreciate that, Brent. Okay. So that's fantastic. That's all the questions of the final round, a little bit out of order, but that's okay. Now I have one more question for you, and this is probably the most important question of all, because we're sitting here talking about your story, how you got to where you're at with land investing. And I'm sure there's people that are listening right now that are going to say, you know what? I want to know more about Brent. I want to know more about his podcast. I want to know more about what he's doing. I also, you said you have a student that you were helping out just before we got on this call. So I'm sure you've got some type of education opportunities for some people to check out. So where can people find that to find more information about you? Can you share your website, any social media, anything like that?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking, Mike. I guess the easiest place is, I just launched a YouTube channel about almost a year ago now. If you just go on YouTube and search Brent Bowers, you can find the channel. Please subscribe. Show YouTube that's actually something, but that's probably the best way to get to know me. I put out a video every single day of the week. I also mentioned that I'm on Wholesaling Inc. I'm on the podcast. If you want to check out land, head on over to wholesalinginc.com/land.
Absolutely. And to make it easy for everybody, I'm going to have all those links in the show notes. So you can just copy and paste or click or whatever you need to do. And I want to point out something that Brent said on that last question too, as we're moving forward towards the end here, is keep taking action. Just keep taking action. Absolutely love that, man. That is probably going to be burning in the back of my head for the rest of the day today, to just keep taking action. Brent, this has been an absolute pleasure, man. You have an amazing story. Really love what you're doing. I really love what you're doing for the community as well, with helping people. This is one of the reasons why I bring people like you on this show, because you're a genuine person and you're doing some really good things.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. And aloha. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.